think this is probably all we'll get today. I know it's a huge room and it's a 5 o'clock session, so those two things put together make it seem like there's no one here. So we're going to have to show you some really cool stuff to make you all cheer so we can hear it up here.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. I like this guy, and he's coming to the front row. There we go. So our session is going to be talking a little bit about geospatial business intelligence, and specifically a few different tools that we have as part of Microsoft BI. How many of you, just as an informal poll, have used PowerMap? Okay, sounds like about maybe half, maybe a fourth. How about PowerView? More, okay. How about SSRS, specifically maps? Yeah. Oh, not very many, okay. A lot over there? Okay, cool. So what we'll do today is kind of walk through what are kind of the sweet spots, you know, benefits of each of those different tools. What are some of the things that you might not want to use those tools for? So really, we hope that you will walk out of this session with a better understanding of when to use each of these tools for geospatial business intelligence. And we'll spend a lot of time on PowerMap as kind of a new, cool, flashy geospatial business intelligence tool, talk about some of the benefits of that, and then talk about how we're making that available and how we're continuously innovating with that feature, and really looking for some feedback from all of you on the ways that you see you using it within your enterprise. Oh, I didn't even introduce ourselves. It's 5 o'clock, of course. I'm Ari Shore, a product marketing manager on the Office team, specifically focusing on business intelligence. With me, I have Michael Wilmot, SQL TS, and business intelligence extraordinaire. Shows a lot of really cool PowerMap demos to his customers and wows them, gets them really interested in the BI stack with Microsoft. So how many of you feel like you can just get stuck in this spreadsheet jail? You know, you have all these columns and rows and have a bunch of latitude, longitude. You have cities, you have states, probably a lot of you, right? So you end up looking something like this blue guy here, where you just can't really make sense of all that data sitting in a spreadsheet. So that's kind of where some of these tools come in. And so what we'll do is, let's cue up that video there, give you an idea of kind of how we see Microsoft being able to deal with some of those issues.
We have entered the era of big data, but most of the data is hidden in rows and columns. What if the data could be visualized in space and time? For example, if you're a first responder looking at your data as a visualization, you'd be able to see the path of maybe a hurricane or other natural disaster as it moves through an area, and then be able to see where those captive populations are located so that those first responders know where they need to be according to both historic and predictive data. PowerMap is a great example of some of the new visualization capabilities that have been brought into Excel. With just the click of a button, Excel recognizes the rows and columns of data and puts them beautifully on a map. All you need is the data.
We are the leading compiler of institutional data in the U.S. We compile education, healthcare, government, what we sort of term as a sub-market of the B2B market, the institutional market. We like to think of our data as the core building block that everybody...
Buffering. Uh-oh.
Hang.
Good, we have confirmation in the first row.
Think of our data as the core building block that everybody hang.
Yeah, we can send out the video after, but you get the point. You know, making sense of data locked in a spreadsheet, being able to see it play on a map, be able to tell stories with it, those are the kinds of things that we'll be showing you today with the different tools. So when we're talking about these visualizations, they really fit within the BI stack within, of course, Visualize. So for those of you who have attended some of the other Excel and Power BI sessions, that's really where we're focused in this session. And so when we're talking about the different tools, it really helps to kind of put them in terms of, you know, more of a corporate BI tool versus a self-service BI tool. And, you know, when we think about corporate BI, there's all these different steps to, you know, take the existing data you have in data marts, files on different desktops, provision them out, and then get them to end users rather than, you know, self-service BI, more focused on, you know, just letting the end users kind of go and do the work of gaining insights from their data. So when we're thinking about these different geospatial tools, it helps to kind of look at them in that context. So we'll show you today SQL Server Reporting Services, more of kind of a corporate BI tool versus some of our more self-service BI tools like Power View and Power Map. And when we think about like how enterprises are embracing geospatial data analytics and visualization, there's a few different trends that we see. You know, there's spatial data conflation overlay, you know, being able to layer different data sets on top of each other, gain insights, you know, whether it's sales and opportunities, things like that. You can see some of the different visualizations pictured in that top row, whether it's, you know, Power Map on the right-hand side, maybe looking at food inspection data, looking at crime data across a city, things like that. Temporal, you know, patterns and animation. So being able to play data over time. That's one of the big benefits you'll see with Power Map, is being able to actually take that geospatial data and gain insights on a time-based on a time basis. And then reframing, you know, looking at different regions. As you can see in those images on the bottom, you know, we have state regions. You know, a lot of enterprises will look for custom regions according to their, like, their sales regions. Those are all things that we try to take into account with our geospatial tools. So with geospatial analysis, there's a number of different steps that go into it. So first, you know, collecting the data. You know, you have all these different data sources. Maybe they're stored in data marts. Maybe they're stored in files. They could be anywhere, but you're bringing them into some kind of geospatial, maybe a GIS tool, and exploring the data patterns, investigating outliers, and visualizing that data, you know, to be able to see what are those insights. And then once you identify them, be able to share them out with the rest of your organization. So I'll let Michael talk a little bit about, you know, especially with Power Map, how he sees that tool really getting people excited about the rest of the Microsoft BI stack.
Yeah, thanks, Ari. So it's interesting. This slide is talking about imagination and imagining. And you can see this presenter is telling a story. But for thousands of years, the human drama has really been all about storytelling. The thing that really captures people is when you talk about story, people kind of sit up in their chairs and light up, because it's just in our DNA to tell stories. And I've been a SQL Server system engineer for about 7-8 years now. And data is great, but the ability to tell a story and capture imaginations is really profound. I was at a customer 2 or 3 weeks ago, and sitting across from a senior VP at a healthcare organization, and she was literally floored when she saw the fact that we could take all her population healthcare data, visualize it up on a map, and really, really light up that information and bring it to life. So the thing I love about our BI tools and Power BI, and specifically in SharePoint being able to light up these stories, is just the ability to tell stories, to do things like heat maps and to do bar charts and to be able to do things like time series and to tell stories. So it's a really profound part of our BI stack.
Thanks, Michael. So speaking of that population healthcare problem you had with your customer, what are some of the ways that you helped her make sense of it? I mean, what did you do with the Microsoft BI tools to make that possible?
Right, that's a great question. So what we've got here is, I'm going to show a quick example of a population health. After the advent of Obamacare, there's a lot of kind of concern around population health, which is really hospitals taking more and more responsibility for the health of the population around them and having kind of oversight of that population to make sure, are these people risks for COPD or for cancer or for diabetes? And so what we'll see here is kind of telling a story with data. So if you could switch me over to 9 or 8, rather. So what we see here is an Excel workbook, and we've got things like disease registry data. We've got things like parks, nursing homes, clinics, hospitals, fast food, groceries, gyms. So all these disparate things actually are related in terms of, if you think about population health, you think about a community that might be in your immediate vicinity, and you want to look at what is the health of the population around me as a hospital. What are people's access to parks, to nursing homes, to gyms, to healthy food, to unhealthy food? And then how are those different populations, how do they manifest in terms of things like COPD and diabetes? Now, if you just look at this data, it's fairly difficult to mine anything visually from it. But what you can do is if you do something like highlight this table with a control A, and then you say add to data model, what that will do is it will add that data set and all those data sets into this Excel backend data store called Power Pivot. Power Pivot is then the data model that can be sewn together all this data. And if you look down here at this little diagram pane, what you can do is see all these tables as actual SQL Server tables. And if you had relationships between them, you can drag and drop relationships to create kind of intertwined tables and relationships there. Ultimately, what you want to do is once that data is in this model, you can go into this this new tool called Power Map, and so I'll launch that map. You can see here that I've got a single tour. This tour actually can, you can have multiple tours, and a tour consists of, you can see on the left here, that on the left of the page, we have this fictitious city of Evergreen, and what we've got is about 8 or 9 different scenes that you can play and kind of get a sense of the data we just showed. Now, what you'll see here is that you've got the first scene is just going to circle around the data. Then you've got COPD, which is a pulmonary disease. We've got a diabetes per capita. And again, this is all the data we just saw. We've got obesity per capita. And as you come down this page, you'll see that we've got, besides obesity, we've got things like what is their access to gyms, to foods, all that. So I'm going to hit the play button here, and we'll kind of get a sense of, again, this data that we just saw, and suddenly it's going to come to life in a very visual way. So what you're seeing here is in this first scene, Power Map is kind of doing a circle around the neighborhood. And then as we progress here, we're going to look at COPD. You can see that we have a heat map of that, red being the most severe, and then blue being less severe. Now we're looking at diabetes. So a hospital can come in and quickly look at the population, and not only look at the population, but to try to divine trends in pockets of issues where we've got maybe multiple things like obesity, COPD, diabetes, and then we can also start looking at their access to gyms, their access to good food, and then we can actually drill down into a specific community. We can also, in each one of these scenes, we can do overlays, and so you can have actually multiple layers of data stacked on top of each other. In this case, you see a heat map, but we can also start overlaying things like, in this case, it says a food desert in terms of do they have good access to healthy food, or is it just McDonald's and Burger King and things like that. So you're not limited to a single layer. This actually shows all the different fast food joints they have, and you can see this one population here has a McDonald's. They don't have access to good gyms. And so you can start seeing trends around what is actually making this population unhealthy, and how can we provide them better access to health care, to exercise, to good food, et cetera, et cetera. So you can see that in any story, whether it's health care, it's public service, if it's orders and manufacturing, telecom, whatever it is, you can go back to your companies, essentially, take this technology and, you know, go to your management or to your customers and take data that's been sitting, you know, locked away without lots of insights to it, and you can really divine significant insights through that. So that's kind of a quick overview of the possibility that you get in this Power Map technology.
Okay. So Michael, you want to talk a little bit about how now that you've kind of shown a business use case with healthcare,
right,
what are some of the storytelling things you can do with PowerMap? You mentioned storytelling is a big part of how you pitch this to customers.
Right, right. No, that's a great point, Ari. So if let's switch back over to the demo. We're going to look at another problem. I went to a seminar several years ago by Edward Tufte. Has anyone read any of his books?
Yes? Oh, we got some fans here in the front row.
Got some Tufte fans? And so I was really impressed by Edward Tufte. He did. I mean, I was kind of, ever since I saw him, I've been a big fan. Because as if you're a Tufte fan, and he's all about the visual display of quantitative information. That's one of his books. And this is a centuries-old map, and who knows what this map is? Right.
Napoleon going to Moscow and back on the march.
Yep, exactly. Give this man a T-shirt or a dollar or something. A cup of coffee.
We'll have to find something for you.
Well, you can go see Danica Patrick tonight at the Speedway. All right. So this is Napoleon's march, and what's your name? Like Alex said, this is showing multiple dimensions on a map. So the lighter brown is Napoleon when he was feeling big and strong, and took his whole army of hundreds of thousands of men, marched into, and you can see in the top right there it says Moscow, and it shows a little bit of a diversion when they split off some of the resources initially off to the left. But what you see is you see multiple dimensions. You see a Latin long, which is displayed on the map. You also get a sense of time, because on the bottom you can see that over time these troops are marching to Moscow. You can also see on the bottom that there's kind of this graph right here. And so what you're also seeing is as they hit Moscow, they've gone from about 400,000 men down to about 100,000 just due to disease, starvation, freezing cold. As they're coming back, you can see that the temperature is dropping and dropping and dropping. So they're actually losing more and more men on the way back. So there's multiple dimensions. There's an XY, there's the size of the army, there's the temperature. And you can also see that they're trying to do a river crossing here across this river. But the ice broke and thousands of men died there. They also broke off here and split off on their way back. So being a Tufte fan, I thought, man, it'd be cool if I could even have a sense of that data. And so I pulled the data down off the web, and I said, man, I wonder if I can look at this in PowerMap. So let's go ahead and launch PowerMap. And what I did is I surfaced that data in a tour here. And so you can see on the right side here that we've got things like the temperature of the march. We've got a date as well. And also if you look into this this little box here, you can see that I plotted Latin long. So let's just go ahead and play this scene really quickly. So this is a power map tour. What you can see is that the size of the army is decreasing over time. I also added a temperature dimension, and also you can see that there's a kind of a retreat going on here. So that the red circles is actually the severity of the temperature. The blue column represents the size of the army. And you can see also in PowerMap that we've got the ability to show things like different maps and different visualization styles as the march happens. What I'll do here is just kind of walk through an example of how we did that. So let's go ahead and come in here and say, let's go to PowerMap, launch it, and we'll say new tour. So when PowerMap comes up, it automatically looks at things like Latin long. So it identified those as latitude and longitude in my data. If I had things like a zip code or a city or a state or anything that Bing Maps can codify in terms of a geospatial data type, then it's going to try to recommend those things here. If it picks it wrong, you can actually change it here in the next button. So we'll hit next on this. And now what it's looking for is it says, you know, I've determined these are geospatial data types. Now what I want to know is how are you going to measure this data? So what I'll look at here is the actual size of the army. I've got army size, and I coded that as a numeric type. We can actually add legend and things like that. But you can see that the height here is a sum. We can also make this something like a bubble if we want. We can make it into a heat map. We can also, if we've got regions, then we can also add regions if we have things like zip codes. So let's also add some map labels here. We've done that, so now we can see it's actually kind of an interesting part of the world right now. So this is the size of the army. And if we want to, too, there's a layer manager. I talked about the fact that there's the ability to have multiple layers of data. So I can actually take multiple data sets and overlay them to give myself insights in terms of what was happening. So in this case, we see the size of the army. But we also might want to add another layer here. Again, the same data. It's going to pull lat and long. And this time what I want to do is I want to find out how cold the temperature was. So I'm going to drop that in there as well. And that's going to give us how cold it was. I want to show that as more of something like a bubble. And you can see that as the army's coming back, it's a bubble. But what I didn't do is in the first layer, what I forgot to do is to say, is this an advance or retreat? By doing that, it's going to color code those blue and purple, blue being the advance and purple being the retreat. And the last thing I would want to do is come into the first layer, and would like to add date to that. When I add date, it's smart enough to know that that's a date-time field. And what you'll see here is as we play this, you'll see that it plays a time series. Now, the reason that the second layer is not lighting up is because I failed to add date to that as well. So as I light up date on both of these, then you're going to see that the temperature is very insignificant on the way out, but on the way back, it's very significant. You can also come in here and change the time settings if you want. So we can go ahead and edit this, and we can make this something like just a simple date. And we can also, if we wanted to, we could come in into the settings, and you can change things like the size, the thickness, the opacity, to really tailor it to the experience that you want your end users to have. You can also, in the scene options, you can come in and tailor this to change the dates and times. So if you want to filter by date or year, that's also possible in this experience.
Can you talk a little bit about what the scenes are and how that fits into the broader context of Power Map Tours?
Sure, yeah. So that's a great point. All right, in the context of a tour, the tour is kind of the Uber part of the experience. And then the next part is a scene. So you can see right now I have one scene, but I might add a second scene here. This second scene, actually, I might color code this to a different theme. And then I actually might have a third scene that I want to come in and look at, again, another part of the world. And as I change scenes, what you'll see is that the first one, I might want to do a different effect than the second and third scene. So the first one, we might do a circle effect. Let's see. Go back to our layer manager. You can also do things like turn off certain elements if you want and hide those, and you can also turn them on. So there's lots of options here in terms of things that you might want to do. And then once all that's done, you can play your tour, and you can see that the map is kind of spinning. You can mix and match layers. You can transition. You can go to different parts of the world if you want. And we'll kind of get into that a little bit later. But you see that very quickly, just with some geospatial data, with a measure, the thing that you want to measure, then you can get this really rich experience and really divine kind of interesting insights of your data and add things like layers and scenes and time filters.
So you can think about it kind of like a PowerPoint presentation for your geospatial data, with different scenes being the different slides, different layers being kind of like the text mm-hmm. boxes or pictures that you put on there.
Yeah, that's a great point. So at the top, you've got a tour, then you've got a scene, and then to Ari's point, even with a scene, you've got multiple layers. So you have this granular experience that you can come in and tailor, and then there's also the ability to come in, look at these settings. We talked about the fact that you can make this duration. Say I want to make the duration of this first scene 12 seconds. I might want to make the transitions 5 seconds. I might want to add different effects to it. And again, we can do time filtering as well. So lots of different things you can do. You can also come in if you want, and you can say add annotation. And this annotation would be very big army here, something like that. That annotation then will exist on your presentation. And you can also do things like you can zoom in, and that, it'll actually remember where you were in terms of zooming in.
And you can pinch out to zoom too, which is great. And you know, he's playing the tour here. You can mm-hmm. tap it for a second, zoom in. This is just using my fingers. Mm-hmm. be able to gain more information within this tour play mode. And we see this tour play mode as kind of being the way that these tours could be consumed more broadly. So maybe someone authors this tour and then gives it to someone else within their organization, maybe on a SharePoint site mm-hmm. or Power BI site, something like that, and be able mm-hmm. to actually consume that and interact with it mm-hmm. in a very interactive way. Right now, we just have video tours, but mm-hmm. you can see the direction that we're headed with kind of a very immersive experience for this geospatial data.
Exactly.
What was that? Oh, good question. So how many of you know what a Power BI site is? Not very many. Okay, nobody was really in the other Power BI sessions. A few people were. Power BI sites are basically, so Power BI for Office 365 is a new offering that basically builds on top of SharePoint sites to give you kind of a full BI experience. So being able to consume your reports within Power BI, so interact with them, so like you would in SharePoint, but also include some of the things like Q&A, so, which is, you know, the natural language query I think you might have seen in the keynote. Right now, that's only in 365.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're thinking kind of more broadly about how do these tours get embedded in other applications, whether that's a line of business application like Dynamics or whether it's something like another Office application. So maybe if you put in your Word document, you have a tour, would you be able to interact with it there as well? So right now, just video, though, or just I'm giving you some of the possibilities.
Yeah, in the session this morning, we actually showed this Power BI site, and this is just, to Ari's example, this is just kind of a sense where you get documents, you get reports, you get recent collateral, and then there's this Power BI piece where we actually created a model like you saw today, and then within the context of this model, that model gets uploaded into SharePoint, and that model can then be consumed by anyone that has access to the site. You can come in, click on an Excel services spreadsheet, and suddenly your organization is able to have the full fidelity of all that data in the context of things like scatter plots, geospatial information, the ability to have cards and things like that. So
we'll talk more about PowerView in the next piece, but just an idea of kind of what those Power BI sites look like.
Yep.
So now you've kind of shown me storytelling. Mm-hmm. You showed me how you can make it relevant to a business.
Yeah.
So tell me how you might take some data, some really mm-hmm. unstructured data, and make it, you know, ready for something like Power Map.
Okay. Well, the first thing is since it's kind of late and we have a little fun today, what I want to do is actually lead this in with a little video here. And this will kind of introduce the next section. Just a couple seconds worth. All about a movie that Ari had an idea about, where we were, you know, nukes were being dropped on the U.S. and it was all about the effects of those nukes. Unfortunately, I didn't have the chance to see this movie, but apparently Ari did.
It's not exactly an Academy Award winner, but
yeah.
For those of you who've seen it, you know what I'm talking about.
So what we did with another cohort of ours is that we created a video that was based on this Japanese artist that created a video about all the nuclear tests that were done since 1945 onward. And it's kind of a chilling, I'm not going to play the whole video because it takes too long, but it's a fairly chilling video by this Japanese artist about it's the history of the Cold War. And you can see up top, it's mainly the U.S. and the USSR. And what you're seeing is a time series of data that's a lot like the power map stuff that we're talking about today, where you're seeing that over time, especially between 1945 and 1963, there was all these nuclear bombs that were tested around the world. And as time goes on, you get this it's this spooky sense where you see more and more nuclear bombs being lit off, and you can see kind of who's responsible up top. Britain jumps in, the Soviets jump in, the United States jumps in, and you'll see weird things like Britain is testing bombs in the U.S. They're testing
bombs.
Looks
like Las Vegas over there.
In Australia, there's some in Australia. So you're seeing that in, you know, Ukraine or the USSR will blow stuff up a lot in their own territory because they have so much land. And then there's this nuclear arms treaty, or essentially a ban, nuclear testing ban, that happens in 1963 for the U.S., Russia, and essentially at that point we stop. But then China and South Africa, they're not part of that treaty, so they keep blowing things up. So what we thought about was to say, hey, this is an interesting visualization. It has millions of hits on YouTube. We thought, you know, PowerMap can do this kind of thing. So let's see how we would create a visualization like this using PowerMap. So I'll pause that. So let's go into our next spreadsheet here. And this next spreadsheet is that, in fact, it's all these visualizations. We have data from 1945 to 2005, and what you'll see here is a power map. And then I'm going to show this power map, and then what we'll do is kind of go backwards in time and talk about how we got the data into this data set, because we presented this at a TechReady conference a couple months ago, and folks said, you know, this is really cool that you can do all this stuff, but how the heck did you get the data into this model? And how do you go about creating one of these? So I'm going to play this tour, and what this tour is it's a set of multiple scenes that once you have this data downloaded from this johnsonarchive.net, which I'll show you how to go ahead and do that, you can start looking at things like the number of above grounds tests by country. In this case, this is explosions by code name. So you can see the U.S. is doing a ton of testing, and this is, again, you can see the time series in the top where you can see that over time, the U.S. is doing lots of tests, but it's a little bit deceptive because the USSR also has this thing called the Tsar Bomba, which was a 50-megaton bomb dropped in the 50s that was this gigantic bomb that kind of blew everything away, no pun intended. So I'll let this play out a little bit more, but again, these are the different types of visualizations that you can get, whether you're looking at things like distinct count of these incidents, you're looking at the size of the incidents. You're looking in the top left, you can see it's by country. So there are different colors represent different countries. You can see there's explosions happening out in the Pacific Ocean. Some explosions are happening up in space where the U.S. decides at 400,000 kilometers to light up a bomb. And here you also see that Tsar Bomba is this Soviet bomb that blows up. So again, whether it's Napoleon's March, whether it's nuclear data, whether it's order data, whether it's sales of telephones and things like that, there's really an unlimited number of things you can do with geospatial data and PowerMap. So I'll pause this now, and this is actually the Pacific Ocean detonation where you can see that it was launched at 400 kilometers. We'll go ahead and pause this now, and what we'll do is we'll talk about how did we go ahead and grab this data set for all these nukes. So what we've got is... there's a couple different data sets that we used, and I'm going to go to this johnsonsarchive.net right now, and we're going to see how this data got pulled in.
It's a public data source, right?
Yeah.
So any of you can go out, we can post this on Yammer afterwards if you guys want to try it.
Yeah. So this is the johnsonsarchive.net. It's a public data source, like Ari said, and the beauty about this is that it's really kind of cryptic stuff in terms of the data that you get is you know, you look through here, you see a bunch of HTML tables, and it's fairly difficult to actually come in here and just download a single table. What you'll also see is that even when there are tables to download, that there's some challenges with these tables. So here's one of the tables from 45 to 55, and let's go ahead and grab this data here, and what we're going to do is pull this into a model. So what we'll do is we'll close our mapping capability there, and we're going to go back into this to a tool called Power Query, and we're going to say, let's pull that data from the web. So that URL I just showed you, we're going to pull this in, and right now it's going out to the web real time, and you can see that there's this table zero here. What this is all this data, and we're going to come in here and call this Nukes1.
Let's just pause for a second. How many of you have used Power Query? So Power Query is also an add-in for Excel, brand new. Allows you to get data from multiple different sources that you weren't able to get to before, like web data sources. There's an online search capability to be able to search a catalog that's like Wikipedia, data.gov, a number of third-party data sources that we continue to add to. What he's showing you here is some of the from web capability, and then being able to use the query editor to shape that data to a place that can then be visualized. So really easy to take data that's maybe a little bit unstructured and make a few transformations on it to get it to a place where you could build something like the tour that he showed you before.
Right, so we pulled in the first table here, and there's actually five or six tables of data, and a typical scientist is running that website so that he is doing a great job in terms of archiving that data, but it's not really easy to do in terms of pulling the data back and to load the data and to rationalize it. So what I've done is I've pulled in the first set of data, and I'm pulling the second set of data now. So now we've got these two data sets, and so we've got Nukes Johnson's Archive 1 and Nukes Johnson's Archive 2. There's actually five or six tables. I'm not going to go through all of that, but what I'll do is kind of show you the methodology that we use to pull this data in. So we pulled in table 1 and table 2, and now if we were using something like SQL Server, it'd be fairly difficult to merge these tables together. With Power Query, all you have to do is there's a merge function and an append function. So let's go ahead and append those two data sets. So we pulled in Nukes Johnson's Archive 1, and we have Nukes Johnson's Archive 2. We hit OK on this. Now it's going to append those two data sets. So right away, this is giving us the ability to start to rationalize the data, to combine it. But now when we look at latitude and longitude, it's going to be really difficult to plot this out because it's not in the correct format. We've got things like tildes here. So what we want to do, and same with longitude, if we look at the quality of the data is not there, what we can start to do is to filter the data and replace things. So we might find things like a tilde and replace that. And if we look at the quality of the data now, it's looking a little bit better. But something like, and then we see a question mark. So let's go ahead and replace that. So again, all this type of activity, it looks fairly simple in Power Query. And if I make a mistake, I can also delete a step if I want to because it's all cached. But this is actually fairly difficult to do if you don't have a tool like Power Query. The last thing I would want to do is do something like, for things like height of burst, I could actually come in here and change that type to a numeric if I wanted, so change it to a number. On the actual longitude, though, it's still not in the format that I need it. So if you look at longitude, west is negative and east is a positive value. So right away what I can do is come in here and anything that says east, I can just remove that. Anything that says west, what I want to do is replace that and make it a negative number. So now we've got, as I go ahead and replace these, did I do that wrong?
Yeah, I think you want
west. So I did it wrong, so I'll delete it. So let's try it again. So I'm going to replace values. I've got west, and I'm going to change it to negative. So that's the beauty of these steps, is that you can go back and delete stuff. It's not really gone for good. Now the problem is 106.5 negative doesn't really mean anything. So the last thing we want to do is try to figure out how in the world we're going to fix this. So let's go ahead and look at the delimiters here. We've got a space delimiter. And if you look at the rightmost delimiter, we can actually split this column into the sign and then the actual number here. I'm going to switch the longitude 2 and 1, and then I just come in here and click this. And what I want to do then is I can actually create a new column based on just concatenating those two. So I could actually create a new column here and
custom column.
Let's see. I was using a merge function before, but it's not working right now.
We can take your word for it.
Yeah. you can also create a new column if you want and actually do a... you can actually do a transform where you actually replace... you actually concatenate two columns together. So that's kind of the massaging of data through Power Query. Once all this is done, you save it back to your data model, and then you can actually go ahead and plot the stuff that we talked about. Okay. So that kind of... covers the nuke testing data.
This is 2013. Yep. Yeah, 2013. And both are actually add-ins that you can go out and download on the download center right now. But these are just add-ins right now, so they will they're not native to Excel yet. So actually,
can we get them?
You can. Yeah.
Can you switch it back to my thing real quick?
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to show you, actually, I figured it out. What I was trying to do is I was trying to merge a number with a text field, because when I created this column, it saw it as a number. So once I create it as a text field now, you can come in and merge these two columns into a single column. There's no separator here, so I combine those into a text field, and then you can come in, you can filter stuff out, or you can actually change the type now to a numeric. And what we've done is we took something that was in a format that was unreadable, and now we can do the same thing for latitude as well. We can then click on load to model, go to apply and close, and now we've taken two tables from this johnsonsarchive.net. We've removed things like tildes, question marks. We've looked at things like how to change types from text to numeric and numeric to text. We've split things by delimiters, flip-flopped them, and we've merged them together all in the context of a couple minutes. Now we have a really powerful data set that we can actually start using in PowerMap. I won't actually go through the process in PowerMap, but if we wanted to, we could actually select all this stuff, go to insert, map, launch PowerMap, and it's going to suck all this data into that map, and we can start plotting it.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
Sure.
So that was a lot of stuff. So just to recap really quickly, what Michael did there was, he took data from multiple sources, maybe an unstructured data source, as was the case with the nuke data, brought it into Excel, sucked it into that data model, was able to geocode it using Bing's mapping service, so it automatically picked up a lot of those columns. An important thing to call out that we didn't call out there is that PowerMap is able to pick up a number of different geospatial characteristics, whether that's zip, country, county, city. There's a whole list of them in PowerMap. But there's some that maybe don't fall into that category. For those, there's actually an other column. So I would encourage you, if you have data that maybe doesn't fall into one of those categories, try it with the other characteristic. And that will basically geocode anything that, if you go to Bing Maps and type it in, if it geocodes there, it'll geocode in PowerMap, because it's the same service. There were a few different visualizations that Michael showed you. There's four of them in PowerMap right now. So there's 3D columns, bubble pie charts, heat maps, and then one of the newer ones that we added was regions. So those are just geopolitical regions right now. One of the big things that we get asked from customers is, when are you going to have custom regions? When can I do my sales regions for my enterprise? We don't have that right now, but that's something that we're definitely thinking about as a high priority item as we continue to develop this new, recently preview capability and now GA. So definitely looking for your feedback in that area. Yeah, question here. Oh, May 30th? Right. So what's can I get to that at the end? Is that okay? Yeah. We'll hit on that point about availability at the end. And the second step, what you saw from Michael is being able to capture those insights as scenes, like PowerPoint slides, be able to add a time play axis to them, be able to play them over time, annotate those points with specific annotations, and then weave those scenes together into tours, which are those interactive stories that he showed you, like the nuke, like the population one, and then be able to share those out. So right now, you can either share the Excel workbook, or you can share it as a video. So you can export those tours to a video format, put them out on a SharePoint site, share them out on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and type in PowerMap tours, you'll find a bunch of those shared out. But as I mentioned before, we really see it being an interactive experience, ideally down the line. The way it was built was kind of as a desktop tool. That's not the end goal for PowerMap. The idea is taking visualizations like maps and making them immersive across different endpoints. So some of the pros and cons of PowerMap as a geospatial tool. So you saw there's a number of different visualizations that you can use. They're interactive. There's a time play element to them. You can create and share them in a number of different ways. I'd say the big benefits are really as multiple layers, so taking those multiple layers of data, seeing them interact over time, is the way that you can gain insights, such as, you know, sales and opportunities are a great example. Cons, you know, you can't really filter data in Power Map in the GA version. So you can look at time play and filtering the time, but you can't filter the points actually plotted on the map. You can only filter it within the actual Excel workbook or the data model and then visualize it. So future filtering capabilities are coming, I can tell you that, but right now you can't do that in the same way that you could other BI tools like PowerView or SSRS. You're also unable to drill down, so like hierarchies, we don't have those right now in Power Maps, so you basically have to select the type of geospatial characteristic that you want. You can't double-click on it to drill down into a different characteristic. And you're also unable to customize the shapes and regions, but again, that's something that we're thinking about as kind of the next wave of features that we'll roll out for Power Map. So now what I'll show you is a little bit how to show off Power View and what you can do there. So how many of you have used Power View? I think I asked at the beginning. I just want to get another show of hands. Okay, so I won't spend a ton of time here, but really what I want to call out is some of the benefits of using Power View over what we just saw with Power Map. So, you know, here I have a number of different Power Views ranging from, you know, marketing to, you know, product profit. This is something that maybe a CMO would use. And let's say we want to look at sentiment for different branches of our stores. So what we can do is, you know, take some of the geospatial characteristics that we have within our data model, all shown on the right-hand side here. And you can, you know, select them, just add them to the canvas, so like city and state. We can then, you know, if we're looking at this as sentiment analysis, we could look at volume, look at tone type. So we want to see, you know, positive and negative tones for sentiment, and we can just map them. And what's great is, you know, then we can, you know, actually I selected a separate one here. We don't need state. We can just get rid of that. And we can filter on California. So you can see that pop up on the map. And we'll just filter specifically on California. Zoom in there. And so that's some of the filtering capabilities in PowerView, being able to actually have this filter pane on the right-hand side. Being able to, you know, use also number filters. So if we want to look at loyalty score for those particular customers there, we can change that. You know, just look at the top customers. We could look at it by age as well. And so now we can identify some of our younger customers have negative sentiment in Topanga and maybe focus some of our marketing efforts on that area. So using some of the filtering capabilities within PowerView. Another example of this, you know, if we want to build like a customer demographics dashboard here, and see we could do country. Look at our customer counts, look at it by occupation of those customers. Let's turn it into a map. One of the other capabilities of PowerView is being able to actually go in and add maybe another geospatial characteristic like city and create a hierarchy there so we can drag that over here. And then if we double click like on North America, it'll drill us in and be able to look at all of the different cities within the US. And you'll be able to mouse over, similar to what you can do in Power Map, being able to mouse over and get more information, you know, filter here. and be able to also create other types of visualizations that are interactive on this dashboard. So be able to add maybe customer count at the bottom here. Trying to find the table here. There we go. Customer count. Add that here. Be able to play it over time. Now you can create a line chart. And then that becomes interactive with the other visualizations on the dashboard. So these are some of the things that you can do with Power View that you might not necessarily be able to do with Power Map. One key thing to call out here is, you know, we have a time line chart, but we can't really play this visualization of Bing Maps over time, which is one of the benefits of Power Map. And then the other thing that I mentioned before a little bit with Power Map is that you can't publish it up to the BI sites and interact with them in the same way that you can a Power View. So here, you know, we have our Power View published up to the BI site right here. Smartphone sales, you can go here. Silverlight, right now, actually, it's one of the few visualizations not supported in HTML5, but it will be in the future. So you can interact with it across different devices. But in Silverlight, you know, you can interact with it the same way you would within Excel. You know, filtering capabilities are all available there. And then say, you know, also within Power BI, you're able to look at some of the maps similarly in Q&A. So say we have a question that we type in a Q&A, and we get one of those maps back, same one that I actually created within Excel. So just different instances of how we're using Bing Maps. You can imagine these kind of consolidating in the future, being kind of one visualization for geospatial. Right now, we have a few different endpoints that serve a few different purposes, but that's really the goal here, is to help you rationalize, you know, when would I use one over the other? So we'll switch back here. So what you saw is, you know, filtering to identify value with sentiment analysis, product sales and customers, being able to share out that report on a BI site, interact with it, use Q&A on that report, and get a visualization like that on your geospatial data. So some of the big things with Power View, you know, it's presentation ready. You know, you could have it in a boardroom, up on a big perceptive pixel device, touch device, interact with it across different visualizations, and it's really easy to add visualizations to it. Power Map takes a little bit of a learning curve just to figure out kind of where everything is, kind of how you think about the scenes versus the layers and where the different settings are. Power View is much more, if you've used pivot tables, you should be able to use Power View. You know, pros, you know, you have one visualization, bubble maps or pie charts. You can interact and drill down as part of that larger dashboard, but unable to look at the different types of layers that you could do with Power Map and unable to play it over time and storytell in the same ways that you could with Power Map. So now I'll pass it back to Michael to show you kind of what our corporate BI solution for geospatial might look like with SSRS.
Great, Ari, thanks. So we've talked about the geospatial capabilities of things like Power View, of Power Map, and this is a bit of a legacy capability in terms of SQL Server reporting services, but it's a really important one because part and parcel of the SQL Server engine is the ability to do pretty sophisticated geospatial methods, GIS type methods, on SQL Server data that's that you've encoded as geospatial data types. That capability right now is not built into the other tools that we've mentioned. So it's worth mentioning in terms of what's possible in SQL Server reporting services. I got this clicker. So this is a friend of mine, Dave Golub. You can see he's in the second bullet point here, another SE that works at Microsoft. What we've got is a city manager in San Francisco wants a reporting system that she can track 311 incidents. 311 incidents are not 911 incidents, but they're things like nuisances, they're like garbage, trash in the city, graffiti, some kind of problem in the city that's an eyesore that the city manager wants to clean up. So the city manager wants to be able to do is take any road segment in San Francisco and draw a 200-meter buffer around that road segment. Currently, all those capabilities are only possible in the SQL Server engine through all these different geospatial methods. If you go to that YouTube presentation, you can also kind of get a sense of how this is put together. I took that same data, put it into PowerMap, and it becomes interesting, but it becomes overwhelming. So this is the PowerMap view of that data. So this is where, if I want to draw a buffer around a specific segment of a city street, I really can't do it in the current new tools yet. I'm sure this is something that we're going to be adding into our Power BI stack, but it's just not something there since it's more of a nascent technology. A way to do it now, maybe in a better way, is to look at something like regions in PowerMap, to where you can see here that for that city manager, she can look at San Francisco by color coding it and look at things in terms of regions, which is nice. But again, she really needs to have a certain segment of Van Ness Road and segment that out, and not only look around a certain street, but also be able to look at side streets that fall into that buffer. So the way that you would do this with SQL Server reporting services, we'll talk about in a second. But some of the pros of reporting services is that it's got deep geospatial support, things like buffers and intersections between things like polygons and road segments. You get to leverage all the power of SQL Server, Internet Information Server. You get things like nested parameters, filtering, Bing layers. All these things are part and parcel of that solution. You also get all the reporting services capabilities like security, scheduling, configuration. The challenge is that this technology is an older technology, as a lot of us know, since we've all used it for the most part. It requires more sophisticated developer tools, so doing things like geospatial methods, queries, optimization, indexes, all that kind of stuff takes more time. You can also know that you're going to be doing more setup and maintenance of servers. And the visualizations, Ari showed some really interesting things where we show kind of a continuum and a time series. All the things in reporting services are mainly static for the most part. The nice part about reporting services is that, and again, hopefully we'll be adding this to PowerMap in the near future, is that you can look at things like points and line strings and polygons and collections of all these data types that we just mentioned, to where you can take like something like a road buffer, mash that up, and get really interesting results from that. All these are supported in SQL Server reporting services. And let's just talk about an example here. This may look a bit cryptic, and I've actually got a video that I'll show to kind of to show this in a more realistic way. But on the left side, what you've got is a geospatial query, and what you get when you run that query is in the query results, you get all these little tiny points that show up on the bottom left of the query window. Those are actually incident points in San Francisco itself. We've actually geocoded those to a geospatial data type. The query on the right side, and the result is again on the bottom. So you get of the top, you have the query. On the bottom, you have the result set. That, if you look at that query, if you're a DBA, what you'll see is that you've got a road buffer that you've created around these road segments, and all these road segments are actually National Highway Planning Network data that we've downloaded in SQL Server. So again, I know that this audience is not necessarily a uber technical audience around SQL Server, but just know that the ability to do things like polylines, line segments, points, all that kind of stuff, and to actually create a buffer around a road segment. In this case, you'll see that we've actually created a buffer around Geary Boulevard. It's a 200-meter buffer. And you can see that some of the incident points that we've got through these nested parameters are on Geary Boulevard and some are on side streets. So it's a pretty sophisticated ability. And I'm just going to play a quick video to kind of show the how you would set this up. So this is about a 2-minute video, and again, it's basically highlighting a set of data, and through this data set, as you highlight it and run it, what you'll see on the far right side is you've got actually all this lat-long data has actually been geocoded into what's called a well-known text format. this one on text form actually converts into all these different points that SQL Server actually says, I understand the topology of the lat-long map of the whole planet, and what I can show you is in this tiny little map that there's actually buffers, there's line strings that I can understand from this binary data, and I can make sense of things like intersections, buffers, and you can see right here this is actually the streets of San Francisco itself. So all this knowledge, all this data is actually part and parcel of SQL Server. It's something that can be divined from the whole SQL Server experience. And as you run these queries, you can see that it actually is generating this geospatial information in SQL Server. This is an example of the actual road strings that we've created lines around. You get this really pretty picture of all these different colors and things like that. Those road segments can actually intersect with those incident points through this query that we're running here. So I'll move on from this because it's kind of older technology, but it's just something to be aware of that's possible in reporting services. Ultimately, as you run this, then those queries that we were just looking at, you end up with a reporting services report here that's got nested parameters. And nested parameters means that as you select a road and a road segment, you can ultimately end up with points in San Francisco on Geary Boulevard and end up with a buffer around a map through reporting services. So that's kind of the example there. Okay, so that's that.
Thanks, Michael.
Sure.
So what you saw is kind of a whirlwind tour of three of our geospatial tools and trying to help you rationalize them. Right now, we're in the stages of developing PowerMap as really a powerful geospatial tool, adding new capabilities. Some of them maybe are captured within PowerView, maybe captured within SSRS as well. What you see here on this slide is kind of the different areas that we've decided to invest in as we move forward. That's not to say we're going to have all these features, but would love your feedback moving forward on kind of how we develop this tool to be more useful to end users within an enterprise setting. So you can see that, you know, during our preview for PowerMap, we added things like automatic mapping of the columns. So you saw that, you know, typecasting it to be, you know, latitude, longitude to be automatically mapped without having to select those. So that's all the Bing mapping service coming in. Discovering insights, so being able to add new visualizations like regions, flatten out a map to a flat map to be able to, you know, compare across a horizon or across an entire globe. And then, you know, being able to better share stories, so creating videos. Then in kind of the last column on the right-hand side is really, you know, these are the types of things that we've heard from customers over the past year since we entered preview, sorry. So this was an MSR project before that. We public previewed April last year at the PAST BA conference, and now are at GA as of Office SP1 on February 20th. So what you can see is that there's been a lot of development in different areas with PowerMap, and what we've done now is GA as part of Office 365. And what this allows us to do is add some of these new capabilities on a monthly basis. So you could imagine something like filtering might come in a few months. Something like custom regions might come in a few more months. So that's really, you know, people ask me, why are you guys, you know, only making it available as a GA product as part of Office 365? So that we can continue to add features on a much more regular cadence. That is not to say that we don't have the preview add-in still available. You can still go out and use that. And to the young woman's question over here about what is the May 20th date, it's actually May 30th. So the preview is time-bombed and will not be available after May 30th for on-prem customers. And that's how we've messaged it right now. We've heard a lot of feedback over the last week saying, you can't take it away. You know, we want to continue using the preview even if it's GA as part of the service. So we're working with the team to figure out what's the resolution to that to make it continually available and so that you can continue to create these PowerMap tours. So definitely hearing the feedback. Continue to give me feedback. I've responded to tons of emails of complaining field and customers about how they want to continue to use it on-prem. But the goal of PowerMap is really to continue to develop as part of the service, so adding new features there, and then as part of the next on-premise perpetual release of Office, it would be a native capability to Excel and be able to roll up all those features that we added to the service. So you can think about it as PowerMap GA really entering the on-prem customers at Office 16. You could think about it. Yeah.
If you had a hybrid environment, yeah. You'd be able to, and you've got this up on your Office 365, would you be able to have visibility to it for folks that access prem?
Are you talking about the tours or the?
Yeah, the tour presentation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So how it's transformed. Sorry to get the question. You're ready.
No, we can take this. We're right near the end, actually, last 15 minutes. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're still becoming comfortable with the idea of hybrid.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason that we have to have prem.
Mm-hmm.
But depending on who the audience is, right? If we were to able to create this in 365, where you're saying we can,
mm-hmm.
we could make it accessible, right? Like how are these presentable? How are these transportable?
Right. Yeah. And so that was to the point before of like, you basically right now it's the Excel file. And you have to have PowerMap installed in order to view it within the Excel file. And then the other thing is with video. So you can export those to video. Obviously, videos are consumable everywhere. So you can create, if someone has 365, creates the tour, publishes it as a video, consumable everywhere. That's not the end goal. Of course, we want it to be interactive other places. So that'll be a little bit longer term. But yeah, definitely to your question, we want to make it more widely consumable.
So can you publish the PowerMap to Excel services?
So they won't be interactive within Excel services. So you basically view them as a video there. You know, in a SharePoint document library, you could open it up as a video, but you wouldn't be able to have all that interaction that you saw of the tours that you could do within Excel.
You can with Power View,
which is why I called that out of being able to, you know, interact with it in Chrome, you know. So just, you know, to conclude, I want to go back to actually what the researcher who came up with this project used to say is the mission of the former project GeoFlow, many of you might know it by that name as well, and now PowerMap, is to transform data into these 3D stories and help unlock insights for everyone. So we're not totally there yet, as we've talked about a little bit in the questions, but that's kind of the end goal, is taking the data that you have wherever it is, you know, maybe bringing it in with Power Query, and be able to unlock insights and share it through interactive experiences with that data. So I encourage you to actually check out Worldwide Telescope is the project that kind of spawned the idea of PowerMap. It's a free download for academic or research, and you can look at it online, and basically allows you to visualize the solar system. But some of the capabilities that we have there have kind of prototyped what we've done in PowerMap. So a cool thing to check out is in terms of kind of the vision of this technology.
Did you play the PowerMap that you were working on before?
Oh, yeah. Since we have a few minutes, I'll play the PowerMap of some of that same data that I looked at within Excel in a PowerView. I've created a PowerMap off of that as well. So I'm looking at, you know, sales data. It's kind of business relevant, kind of like the healthcare one was. And you can see that, like, this is a company that creates smartphones. And what you can see here is, you know, different releases of their products. So sales by different product type,
It's not showing.
Oh, my bad. Jump over.
It's really cool to watch from here.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I'm impressed with
this slide of the next ones. Let's go. Here, I'll start it over for you guys. So this is an exported video that I did with the tours. So you'll see in a second, you'll start zooming in on the U.S., looking at the different phone releases for your company by model. So you'll see some of the annotations pop up about different geographies selling certain types of phones. And then the heat map is looking at the actual customer locations. And then you can, you know, pan over to Europe and look at, you know, how are we promoting some of these new products. And so that's what the bubble chart is actually looking at the different promotional events that we're doing with the overlay of the column chart of the sales. So looking at different layers and how they interact with business data. You can see the regions also looking at customer count. And then we can look at other geographies like Asia Pacific here. So a good example of how we, you know, you can look at it with PowerView as, you know, an interactive visualization, but you can also view it as a power map tour with different layers and time series.
Can you switch to my machine?
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to show too, this is a final example from my side, is one of the things that I thought about when we were coming to Las Vegas and we had looked, Ari and I had looked at all these different nuclear tests, was I was wondering, man, you know, like, we're going to be in Vegas. I wonder what's happened in our vicinity. So this is actual real live data that's all around nuclear tests.
Hopefully not live.
Well,
it's not going
it
on
was
right now.
Live at one point. But if you look into this, here's Nevada, and these are all the different tests that happened in this first layer. What I did also is I went out to grab some census data on this Nevada census and just downloaded it via Power Query really quickly. And Ari talked about adding that other type of data type where you have I actually appended city and state together. And you can see that right around these nuclear tests that happened in the 50s are all these different dense populations. So just something that's pretty relevant to all of us today in terms of, you know, Las Vegas is very close to the action that happened here in terms of all these nuclear weapons that went off.
Does that explain that weird woman we saw on the strip?
Exactly. And then also, I guess the last thing that we noticed was that all these tests in the Pacific that happened, Ari and I actually tracked that back to this Godzilla movie. So what you'll see is really what was happening in the Pacific with all these tests. And this is like a YouTube truth, I guess.
Yeah, it's a movie.